Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the North Coast Area Labor Federation, all connected to the AFL-CIO. Let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars. This guy's been with us a long time, Dorsey Hager, on behalf of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Website, real simple, columbusconstruction.org. Twitter handle is BuildCentralOH. Dorsey Hager, welcome back to the show. How are we doing today going into this Labor Day weekend?
We are doing great. Like you said, getting ready to head into a nice pool, barbecue, 3-day, celebrating the fruits of our Labor Day weekend brought to us by our union brothers and sisters.
Boy, that means a lot. It really does. When you think about people that have an 8-hour day, paid time off, pensions, Social Security, I mean, these are all things that labor brothers and sisters fought and died for. I mean, over, what, 150 years now, right?
Healthcare. Just got out of a meeting this afternoon with somebody, and we were talking about the importance of requiring contractors to provide the basic human decency as health care to their employees. And I thought, you know, when you're doing tough physical labor in the middle of a pandemic, health care is probably pretty important.
I would think so. I would think so. Good point, because that's a really good segue here. Especially with people working, trying to get back to normal. It's not easy with this Delta variant. But talk to me about what's happening in the field with your members, especially in the Columbus area, because I know, and I want to talk about this, Columbus is on fire in population growth. The census just came out, and I see your population grew by 118,000 during the past 10 years, while in the city of Cleveland, it went down by 24,000. So you got a lot of people in Columbus moving to Columbus. You got the university, the Ohio State University. You've got the community college. You got the, of course, it's state government and all that. But what about safety on the job? Let's start there. Safety is number one. What are you hearing?
So I've had a lot of outreach from general contractors and construction managers in the city and in the county asking my opinion of obviously vaccines, vaccine mandates, masks, stuff like that. Obviously, they ask me. I give them my personal opinion. I know this may be unpopular with some of our members and maybe some of your listeners, but, you know, I make no bones about it. You know, I'm vaccinated day one that I could get the vaccination. I burned up the internet line and tried to find a place. And I went to St. John Arena, historic St. John Arena here on the campus of the Ohio State University, about 2.5 miles from my office. And I stood in line wrapped around the arena in the rain and the cold for 2.5 hours and got my first shot and went back 3 weeks later and got my second. So I was right at the front of the line as soon as my age group was eligible. I'm not going to talk about what age group I'm in on the air, but I was right at the front of the line. I got it, was happy to get it. Several reasons. I think a lot of science and research has went into the vaccine. I think this is a way to get us out of this pandemic. I don't want to get sick. I don't have any family members that have gotten COVID. I do have some friends that have gotten COVID, and I've had some close friends who've passed away from COVID, unfortunately, and I don't want to be one of those people. But I also think that the vaccine is a way for us to get back to normal somewhat, or maybe even a new normal. So these GCs, CMs have been reaching out to me, you know, asking about the building trade stance. We haven't taken a stance as of yet. I don't know if we will. But, I mean, it just seems like to me today in Columbus, the statewide numbers were released by the governor, 7,100 new COVID illnesses, 7,100 new cases today. You know, about 6 months ago, we were flipping out and it was 3,500. So we're more than double that. We're still in summer. We're still in warm weather. We haven't hit Labor Day yet. My fear is in October, November, when we have those 20-degree nights and 40 and 50-degree days, that this is going to get worse, especially as more and more people are bundling up inside. So I don't know what the end is. I spoke at an outreach event Saturday morning, and a bunch of, I'm going to say kids, but 18 to 35-year-old people who heard me talk about the benefits and wages and the work opportunities in the building trades, you know, one of the kids at the end said, hey, what about vaccine mandates? And I said, well, my personal opinion, not the opinion of the building trades, it's coming. If you're not vaccinated, there's going to be some job sites that, unfortunately, you are not going to be able to step on, and that's going to limit your employment opportunities and the opportunities to provide for yourselves and your family. And two people in my in the hall that I was speaking at this outreach event got up and walked out. So that's what it seems like is happening. I don't know what's happening in Cleveland. I don't know what's happening in Parkersburg, Marietta, Cincinnati, Dayton, or around the state, but it seems like there's a lot of people here. Of course, all the healthcare systems have already went to it in Columbus and Central Ohio. We have a lot of members that are doing new construction but also doing maintenance. Some of them have elected not to get the vaccine, so they're not working in some of these really nice maintenance jobs that they had at some of these different healthcare systems. The Ohio State University just mandated the vaccine for everybody on campus, I think beginning October 15th. So, you know, we have the OSU hospital that's broke ground already. It's starting to come out of the ground. It's going to be about a $2 billion project. At the height of that, we'll probably have about 2,300 workers on that job. Be interesting to see what happens there. I'm seeing that a lot of other state schools are starting to mandate the vaccine, Ohio University. We've got a couple school districts down here that, because of outbreaks, have closed until September 15th. Which is unfortunate because so many kids have gotten sick from either being unvaccinated or unvaccinated and not masking up. So I don't know. I hate to be the negative person leading into a beautiful 3-day weekend, but the outlook is not good, I don't think. The outlook is not good.
Well, that's the reality of it. I don't know if you heard what Delta Airlines did with their employees. They said, and they've given some incentives to get the vaccine, and some people, they went forward and did it, but not enough. So they told their employees, if you don't get vaccinated, your health premiums will go up $200 a month. Well, since they made that announcement, vaccinations have increased fivefold. So I don't know if more companies are going to go that route, but you know that when money starts coming out of your wallet, that's a different story. So we'll see what happens here. You mentioned you're kind of nervous. I know you wanted to talk about unemployment claims, and apparently there's an unemployment claims clinic that's taken hold there. Can you explain what's going on?
Yeah, so, you know, the building trades, especially since a lot of our new leadership took over 7 years ago, we try to do what we can to help our members and service our members. And our managers and agents are getting beat to death by some of their members, even now that have returned to work, that are being asked by the state and ODJFS to pay back past unemployment. So I sat down with our legal counsel, who recommended another attorney who deals just with unemployment claims. We sat down and we spoke for like an hour, and we discussed some of the things that are happening down at ODJFS. And I mean, this could be a full 1-hour show as it is, but you know, ODJFS was overwhelmed because people were laid off due to COVID. Some of them took voluntary layoffs. So you have a bunch of people at ODJFS that were working in an outdated, antiquated system that they didn't know how to use, the system that was being used anyway, plus the system was way too old and couldn't handle the caseload. Then you had people that were being transferred in to help ODJFS and unemployment compensation with these cases because of the overload, who didn't really have a full understanding, obviously, of what they were doing and stuff. So there's been a lot of mixed message and mixed communication. So we have members on our job sites now who went back to work, who maybe were on off during COVID, are being asked to pay back some of these claims. We have some members who are home with the children or parents who are immune compromised, who are saying now that they have to go back to work or they're going to lose their unemployment or they got to pay back unemployment they've already received. So it's all very confusing and nobody really seems to have an answer. And if you talk down to unemployment and you talk to the basic, you know, the caseworker level, you may get a different answer out of several different caseworkers on one different claim. So we brought in a professional in. He did a clinic on a Saturday morning. He spent about an hour. He's going to work with individuals on their claims, on their appeals. It was very well received. It was very, very well attended. And it was so well attended that we're going to look at having him back the first week of October to do a class again, because I'm already getting phone calls from people who were on job. And of course, we opened it up to all 18,000 members of the Columbus Building Trades, but I'm already getting phone calls, email, and text from members who said, hey, I work with John out here, and he said he came to your unemployment claim clinic, and this attorney was able to help him. You know, do you have his information, or can I visit with him? You know, and that's why we're deciding to do it again. So I'm hoping that the members are getting some help. I'm hoping that the managers, agents, and reps are getting a little relief, and I'm hoping that we can get this cleared up. And again, you know, segueing in from COVID and what we're seeing now with the cases, I'm hoping we turn the corner and we're coming out of this, but the data certainly does not reflect that, and I'm nervous about what holds in store for us in November, December, January, and February.
Dorsey, from what I've been reading, a lot of the problems with the unemployment system, and this is not just in the state of Ohio, a number of states have systems that are antiquated. And that needs to be updated. And I just had a story 2 days ago from the Labor Department on money that's going to be infused into various states to upgrade their system so we don't go through this again. Now, I don't know when that money is going to become available, but it's long overdue. There's no question about that, because these systems, I think they're like 20, maybe 30 years behind. And they were overloaded, too. Remember when we had the shutdown of March of 2020? Yeah. People didn't get their checks for like months. And that should not be the case. It's tragic when you take a look at that whole situation. So hopefully it'll be better times ahead down the road. Speaking of the Labor Department, I just have to let you know, you might want to be listening to Monday's show. I know you listen to the show as many times as you can. You're busy. You try to work it in, and that's the beauty of the podcast.
Absolutely.
We're going to have Marty Walsh on the show on Labor Day.
Oh,
yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. A gentleman that was kind of a mentor to me was Bud McCourt. He just retired as international general president of the Insulators. And Bud and Marty came up together in Boston, obviously Boston roots. Always spoke highly of Marty. And Marty came and spoke about a year before he was appointed labor secretary. And he was talking about community benefit agreements, diversification, local hiring on workforce and stuff. And I sat down and had a great conversation with him about our Building Futures program, our outreach events, and things that we were doing in the underserved community. And I tell you what, the guy took, I mean, was busy as heck, was meeting with a ton of people here in Columbus, took 15 minutes, 20 minutes out of his day to actually sit down, address some of the questions and concerns, some of the best practices that he used. Because as you know, before he was mayor of Boston, he was head of the building trades in Boston. And
right.
And just it was great sitting down and picking his brain and talking to him and stuff. And what a great guy, a guy that's very hardworking, but also progressive and cares about people. And I'm glad he's in the position he's in now. And I'm hoping that, you know, I saw he spoke at the UA convention in San Diego this week, and I'm hoping that he can keep doing what he's doing. He has the ear of the president, which I know he does, and we can keep moving forward. I know you and I have talked about this on your show here in the past, but obviously in my generation, Joe Biden is by far and away the most pro-union president that we've ever had. And I hope that, that track record and that course keeps continuing down the road.
Yeah, we talked about so many different things. We got into OSHA. He's going to try to trick that up, get more enforcement there. Pensions, you know, the multi-employer plans that were saved under the American Rescue Plan, which happened actually before he took over the department. But it's all good stuff. That's going to be on Monday's show. So I'm glad you're sharing that with me. And I have to thank Terry O'Sullivan, General President of Labor's International, because they paved the way, because he started at Liuna Local 223 in Boston, going back to, I think it was like 1988 when he started. But it's a great story. And you know what? I got to take a break because we're going a little too long here. I want to get into good things happening there in Central Ohio, Amazon, Google, Facebook. And also, we've got some new leadership in the AFL-CIO, Liz Schuler. We'll talk about that as well. Ian Williams will be joining us later in the show. Ian is with the North Atlantic States Regional Council of Carpenters, and that's Local 277. And he'll be talking about what he's doing, training, apprenticeship, all good stuff. And we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens. Now, back to America's Workforce Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, we're available on 5 platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. When you get an opportunity, just take a minute. Sign up, receive our shows on a regular basis, and give us a rating. 5-star ratings are always appreciated. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers. You can find more at oh.aft.org. Let's go back to our live line, rejoin Dorsey Hager, one of our regulars, on behalf of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Well, as I indicated in the first segment, Columbus is on fire. A lot of people moving into Central Ohio. A lot of development, building going on, Amazon, Google, Facebook. Give me the latest rundown. I'm getting jealous here. We got the Sherwin-Williams project in northeastern Ohio, which hasn't started yet. But that's going to be a big one. There's no doubt about that. But anyway, fill me in. What's going on there?
Well, I mean, don't be jealous, because I was in Cleveland last weekend. I saw the Rangers and the Indians. So you guys got a lot going on there in Cleveland, too. I saw a lot of cranes, a lot of holes in the ground, which is cool. But, yeah, Columbus and Central Ohio is definitely exploding. You know, I meet with a lot of GCCMs, try to forecast the future. And obviously construction is perishable and it's also unpredictable, but the future looks well, it looks good as well. But Google just announced that they're looking at another $1.5 billion investment, a couple more data centers, one in New Albany, which is northeast of Columbus, and one in Lancaster, which is southeast of Columbus. So one in Licking County, one in Fairfield County, but those are adjacent counties to Franklin County. So you're talking 20, 25 minutes from downtown Columbus. So those are going to be incredible projects, huge jobs. The solar work obviously is still, you know, hasn't broke ground, is still in the planning stages, but we're looking at a 5,000 acre solar field in Madison County, just west of the city, up near where I live, 25 minutes away from the city. We're looking at two solar projects, 2,400 and 3,600 acres each. So those will be nice. And just to put that in perspective, talking to Pat Hook, the IBW business manager, he said a 2,000-acre solar field probably would employ 100 to 125 electricians for 12 to 18 months. So a lot of work, very interesting. Amazon continues to be, you know, just crazy, crazy busy, looking at land to purchase and acquiesce to build more and more data centers, which I think we have either completed or in the construction phase right now. Just in Central Ohio is 52. Google, I mentioned Google, Facebook still going strong out in New Albany. The Facebook campus is huge. We've got a lot of members out there, and that's an incredible project in support of Facebook and their data centers out there. And then one that's kind of been on the front page and kind of fell off, and now it looks like it's got some rejuvenated hope, and I've got a meeting after Labor Day about it, is this North Market Tower. So they're looking at putting a North Market Tower in. They're looking at 16 to 20 stories downtown Columbus. It'll have a little bit of condominium in it. It'll have some mixed use. It'll have a lot of different restaurants in it, just like the North Market does now. And it'll be a destination place for people there in Columbus to go and visit, get something to eat, maybe even a place for some people to settle down and live. But a lot of work in Columbus and Central Ohio, a lot of work. It's all coming up. Ohio State, which this was kind of like a blip on the radar, announced that they're building a lacrosse-only athletic stadium, so that's going to be interesting to see as that comes up how much work is involved there for us. But just a ton of work coming up, a lot of good things happening.
Dorsey, if you don't mind, let's pick up on Amazon, because as you know, Amazon as a company does not want their workers to unionize. We saw how brutal it was in Bessemer, Alabama, and it's like that all over. No matter where there's an Amazon facility, they beat the union down. I know the Teamsters are organizing. They've got a very, very aggressive campaign going on right now. But when it comes to building the warehouses, the facilities, is that pretty much all union then? And is there any conflict? I mean, are they trying to go non-union on these projects or what?
I would say the data centers and the facilities right now in Columbus and Central Ohio market are 75 to 80% union. We see some of the things that are done that they will go low dollar and they'll just use the lowest dollar. But a lot of what's gone in the bidding process so far and what a lot of our managers, agents, and reps are doing is they're getting out, they're meeting with these folks, they're meeting with the GCs and the CMs that are building these facilities. And I think a lot of them are on time on budget, done safely, and the biggest thing is on time. If they break ground on a data center and they want it fully operational in 12 months, then they have a much better chance of that happening when they go to the plumbers and fitters, the UA, when they go to the IBEW, when they go to the iron workers, the insulators, the sheet metal workers, SMART. They have a much better chance of that happening because they know they're going to have a large range of contractors that are going to have an endless supply of manpower to be able to do that job to get it done on time and under budget. Whereas if you, you know, if you do a project with just one contractor, you're dependent on that contractor to find people. And I think that's where we have a competitive advantage right now. We're doing a lot recruiting, outreach, cultivating people, getting them interested in the trades, but also training the people that we currently have and getting them out as soon as we can. Whereas a single company on its own, you know, is going to have a hard time putting a one ad in the paper or something on a on an internet site to try to get people because the unemployment's so low. So I think that's played to our advantage, and I think we're using it well. But we haven't seen any animosity really from anybody down here in Central Ohio. Obviously, it's not as pro-labor as Cleveland or Toledo when it comes to terms of project labor agreements and stuff like that. But I think we're starting to turn that a little bit and starting to have some better conversations with that. But we're not seeing the animosity towards unions, because I think a lot of people realize that the building trades unions are a source, a partnership, and can help them get their projects done because, again, of our manpower situation. And as the unemployment level stays low, as we're still fighting our way out of a pandemic, there's a huge premium on skilled labor right now, and they know who it is that they need to go to use that skilled labor.
And I bring that up because I recall a story not long ago, like Walmart and companies like Disney, who are not what you call union friendly in the same category as Amazon. They insist on union labor when they're building a facility or they're adding on a Disney World. Because they know to what you just said, because they know it's going to be done right. I mean, it's real simple when it comes down to it.
One other thing I think falls into there real quick is cost certainty. Those are the conversations I have with Honda of America, is cost certainty. They know that if they go into a contract with a Limbach or a Superior or a Kirk Williams and they're signed to a CBA, a collective bargaining agreement, they know that their costs are pretty much going to be, you know, in line for the next 2 or 3 years, the life of that CBA. Whereas if they bring in an outside open shop company to do some of their services, they're not going to have cost certainty, because obviously those people are going back to their contractors. They're hitting them up for raises. They're threatening to leave. They're trying to better their situation. And that throws the cost for that company out of whack. So that's another competitive advantage we have. Our contractors know today, tomorrow, 6 months, 12 months, sometimes as far as 36 and 48 months, what their costs are going to be and what type of manpower chain that they're going to be able to access. And I think that gives them a competitive advantage when they bid work.
Very good point. All right, one more thing here, and that is some leadership changes in the AFL-CIO. Last time you and I talked, it was the day after Rich Trumka suddenly passed away. Well, in the last couple of weeks, Liz Shuler, who was Secretary Treasurer, has been elected unanimously, I might add, by the Executive Council to continue Rich's work at least until next June. And I'd like to get your comments. She comes from the trades. She comes from the IBEW. What's your thoughts moving forward here?
Well, I don't know Liz personally, but I've read her resume and I've checked out her page and everything. And obviously, coming from the IBEW, I think she understands the issues that face building trades people every day. And I think she understands the issues that face labor. I think it's going to be really interesting and really nice to have, you know, a female leading the charge here. I think it does a lot to speak to how the unions are obviously becoming more inclusive and more diverse. And when you have somebody at the top of the AFL-CIO leading the charge and speaking that, I think that gives us a lot of credence and credibility. But one thing I do know about Liz is she's very passionate. She's very smart. She's very hardworking. You put those three things together, and I think she'll do well. You know, and you and I were talking off the air. She cut her teeth as an IBEW organizer for, I think it was Local 125. And, you know, to be an organizer, and then she did some lobbying for the IBEW too, you know that you got to have thick skin and you got to be, you know, been told no lots of times and hard worker and press forward. And I think she's well-suited, well-trained, and I think she's going to do an incredible job as the head of the AFL-CIO.
And she was with Rich from the beginning when Rich took over the presidency going back to 2009. She was Secretary Treasurer since then. So she's learned a lot from him. I'm looking for good things from Liz Shuler. All right, we're going into Labor Day weekend here, and I often ask my guests how they feel. I mean, what a big difference from last year. Oh, my gosh. What a big difference. We've got a pro-union guy in the White House. Marty Walsh, as I indicated, is going to be featured as a guest on our Labor Day show, a union guy in the Labor Department for the first time, I think, in a half a century. Things are happening, a lot of organizing going on. I just want to hear from Dorsey Hager, kind of salute to the brothers and sisters out there as we go into this very, very celebratory weekend. Go ahead.
I just want to salute the men and women of the building trades, all building trades, the national building trades, the state building trades, Columbus Central Ohio building trades, our 18,000 members, our men and women, white, black, brown, African-American, Latino, come from all walks of life, you know, some college graduates, some high school graduates that have go out and every day they strap on the tools, they put on the hard hat, and they bust their butt to make sure that what they do makes money for their contractor, represents their union, their family, and their community well, and that they provide for their family, and they also provide for their community because they're an asset to their community, because they're making a good wage that they can spend in their community, support their local businesses, but they're also not a burden on the taxpayers of this community or the taxpayers of this state because they have a union-negotiated healthcare plan, pension, and annuity, which means they're going to have a great career, they're going to be able to leave and live a great life, and they're going to be able to retire with dignity and respect and be able to do what they want without being a burden on anybody else. So that's what I want to say. I want to salute all those guys, whether they're climbing iron, whether they're wrapping pipe, whether they're welding, whether they're installing electric panels, digging ditches, moving ground, building our roads and highways, our office buildings, our churches, our hospitals, and then also on the weekends taking time to you know, volunteer in their churches, their local youth groups, and coach their kids' soccer and baseball teams. I want to say hats off to them, and it's in a well-deserved, like we started the show, three-day weekend brought to us by our brothers and sisters in organized labor, and I hope they just have a great weekend.
I love what you just said, my man. You are the best. You are the best. Dorsey Hager, Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Find more at columbusconstruction.org. You take care. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you next month, okay?
Sounds good. One last thing. 9 days. Let's go, Browns. Beat the Chiefs. Football season is almost here.
I hear you, brother. Take care. We'll talk to you next month, buddy.